Hello, everybody. Welcome to December. Is it cold and snowy where you are? Apparently it's cold. I haven't been outside in probably 3 days, but I did notice that a man just walked by with his dog, and he had a full-on... I mean, he looked like he was in the Antarctic. You know, it was just a full... Not a face mask like we all wear now for COVID. I'm talking a ski mask and one of those hats with the flip-up ear things with wool, fur or something on the inside, and like a long down coat. And then the funny part is he had that one of those little skinny, tiny little dogs, like a rat terrier or something, with, you know, I mean, it's just miniature. It barely exists. It's so small. And he didn't even have a jacket on that thing. So, and that dog looked cold. So anyway, that's beside the point. Didn't plan on telling you guys that, but I do love December. I do love the cold. I'm ready for some snow. I didn't move from Southern California to Washington State to have nice weather. So I'm ready for the gods to bring it on. I was just watching. I was sitting in a weird way as I was thinking about what I wanted to read to you guys. It was sort of creepy. I've talked about this before, but I've never seen it quite like this. With my heartbeat is so hard. I mean, so heavy and strong because it's not a great heartbeat in a way, you know, because I have a heart problem. But I had my legs crossed and my right leg was over my left, and I was at a weird angle in my chair, and I was just, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I thought maybe Frankie, my cat, came up to me, but it was really my leg was bouncing very severely, even though I didn't feel it. I could just see it, like, with my heartbeat. But I'm talking, it was going for it. It was really wild looking. I don't know if I was, like, cutting off circulation or something. I have no idea. Also, my ankles are always purple. Does anybody else have that? I've had this forever, and I've even had doctors notice it, but they never seem concerned. Now I brought that up, and I'm already fearing. If somebody, you know what? If you happen to know that that means something bad health-wise for me, just don't tell me. I'd rather just die without knowing, to be honest with you, and I sincerely mean that. If somebody's like, ooh, I've heard that's a sign of... I don't even know what. I don't want to hear about it. I'll just deal with it when I get there, you know? But thank you for your help anyway. people have been driving me crazy lately. How about you guys? Just everything. Just everything's kind of driving me crazy. And I woke up today... Well, no. I've been kind of depressed for the last few days. I wouldn't say kind of. I'm definitely depressed. It's a little bit of just the monotony of quarantine for this long, which we are all sort of experiencing based on where we are and all of that. The sadness of all of this, and I know a lot of people personally who have been suffering with COVID, and with family members with COVID, and some family members who have passed away from COVID, and I don't know. I just need a break. Like, I really am feeling like my mental health can't take it anymore. Can't take any of this anymore. And also, people are just jerks. That's the other thing. I don't even want to get into it. I don't even want to tell a vague story. People are just assholes. And I know there are there's so many nice people, too. But right now, allow me to focus on the biggest jerks out there, because I'm sick of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling sorry for my... I don't know. I'm in a mood. I have a new corner. Well, no, I'm going to do recommendation corner first. Recommendation corner. How you guys doing? I got some recommendations for you. Now, do you remember how I felt plagued by The Vow, the documentary about the NXIVM cult? What was that on? HBO? I think it was on HBO. Well, okay. The Vow sucked. Let's just be honest. That show, that was one of the worst documentaries. When I think about it, again, that is one of the most intriguing sex cults of all time. And also, Keith Raniere is one of the most disgusting, disturbing cult leaders. And just pathetic and so interesting in the way that he's such a complete nerd. And yet, and also not seemingly very charismatic from those of us not in NXIVM. And yet he got all of these people to... think he could control the weather and shit. Although The Vow never told you that Keith Raniere told people he could control the weather and that they bought into it. But anyway, So the vow sucked. I would so not. I wish I could go back in time and take back all of the hours of my life I spent watching that dumb documentary. But Seduced, which was on Stars. I even got a Stars membership just to watch it because my friend Allison told me about it. And it is so much better. It's still flawed in some ways because it's only really from the perspective of one of the cult members named India. And India Oxenberg, if you saw The Vow, you'll know who I'm talking about. And she does this weird thing where, for some reason, she's reading her... They're supposed to seem like natural conversational language in the interviews with her, but they're so... I'm like, it sounds so... It's basically just horrible acting, which is aggravating because it just... Like, I just wish she would talk in whatever flawed manner she would naturally talk in. Okay, this guy just came out of his house with a full arm cast. That's new. Haven't seen that on that guy, but I hope he's okay. But Seduced, in the first, like, I really mean this, 30 seconds of the documentary gearing up, it's already, you're already getting more information, like Keith Raniere saying some despicable things about rape of children. And we never got to that point because we're so, in The Vow, because we're so concerned with those. Anyway, this is not a podcast about the NXIVM cult, but just trust me on this one if you're interested. Because I think you guys may or may not know, I'm very, very fascinated by cult behavior. Most of my work in my life has been about this, so I'm very obsessed with it. But Allison also told me the new Heaven's Gate cult is coming out on HBO tonight. So I'm going to make I've got so much to do that I don't know if I can watch it tonight. But I would like to do like a viewing party, you know, just Damien, me, and Frankie. Frankie's by my feet. Okay, moving on. Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony. That was on PBS. And, oh man, that was really good. And by the way, dream collector of my life is Lars Ulrich. I don't know if you guys know this. I think Lars Ulrich needs to own my Hell drawing, which is bizarrely still available. So if anybody knows how to... Don't you guys think Lars Ulrich of Metallica fame would love my Hell drawing? If you don't know it, look it up. Robin O'Neill Hell. You'll see it. It took me 3 years to make. It's insane. And it's definitely made for Lars Ulrich. So he's the one private collector I'd want to have that. Other than that, it needs to go to a museum. But anyway, so that's my recommendation. If you're a Metallica fan, or even if you're not, I think you would like this a lot. It's very powerful. I mean, I love Metallica. So there you go. A general recommendation corner, which is just watch some old shit. Get out of now. I would say anything pre-cell phone is a really good remedy for the COVID blues. We always do that anyway. We're always watching Alice or Sanford and Son or 90210 or whatever. We've been watching the 80s nighttime drama Hotel, which is so good. That's been helping. Because it doesn't even resemble life today in any way. No way. I mean, they are human beings, I think, but they don't act like we do now. And it's really nice. Caroline in the City from the 90s, that, you know, there are some people who have cell phones, but not on that show. You know, it's not common enough for people to be calling on. So there's a lot of that voicemail drama. Okay, there's like 10 people who look like they're in a search party or something. I don't know what they're doing, but they're very concerned and they're looking around. They keep looking at my front door. And I'm like, I don't have whatever you're looking for that I know of. Anyway, what else? Okay, number one recommendation of the week. This is my top recommendation of the week, even above Seduced on Stars, is, you're not going to believe this, it's an American Girl. Do you guys know The Dolls' American Girl? It's an American Girl half-hour animated movie. Let me find out what it's called. I'm going to link it in the podcast notes, obviously. But it is called Meet Courtney. And it's an 80s... So they came out with an 80s girl this year. And her name's Courtney. And she grew up... She's like basically my age. She seems to be exactly my age. So she's still in elementary school when the Challenger exploded. And this documentary... I mean, this documentary about the Challenger... What if it was a documentary about the Challenger explosion through the eyes of an American Girl doll? Well, it basically is. I'm not even kidding. So I found this on YouTube. I walked by an American Girl place with Damien, like pre-COVID, I think, and at a mall, and I was just like, God, something weird happened in me where I never thought I'd say this, but I was suddenly really into American Girl dolls. And I don't know why, because I've never liked dolls, period. But I did when I lived in Chicago. I lived near the Miracle Mile or whatever it's called. And so I would walk up and down there all the time. And I did go into the big American Girl, like that's the headquarters or something, because it was so fascinating. And I saw all these families eating in the American Girl Cafe, and they had mini chairs for their American Girl dolls next to them. And I was very into that aspect of it, how people treat them like real people. And they go to the hair salon and they go to the doctor. Like they really do have a doctor on duty. So anyway, I told Damien, I'm like, man, I am way obsessed with American Girl. Like it just happened, boom, like that. And he knew a lot about American Girl dolls because he had someone in his family who he would watch the movies with, this little girl. And he liked them. So I thought, okay, well, that was in the head. And then Damien brought up this the other day. He's like, remember you wanted to get into American Girl dolls? Let's watch some things. And we found this, which was, yeah, Meet Courtney, an American Girl movie. It's a half hour long, animated. It's not real people, which is why it's so beautiful. And you get to see at the very end how they animated this. You see the people who worked on it. And there's like a school set from the 80s. But all of this stuff is miniature to fit the doll's scale. But there is one of the most emotional scenes I've ever seen on any movie. And I'm actually not kidding at all. I'm not trying to be dramatic here. It really is that beautiful and emotional. And it centers around when the Challenger exploded. And since I was in the exact situation that they were and had the same lunchbox as Courtney and all of this, it was exactly how we felt when we watched that. Because those of you who are too young to remember, we all watched it in school because it was such a big event. And we all basically watched all those people die, and we're little kids, and we're all so excited for months leading up to it. And then that happened. So anyway, it's a really very interesting movie. But I was just thinking, it's weird to imagine that American Girl Company would make a half-hour movie that's this. There's also some politics involved and some broken family stuff involved, and some really cool fashion. So anyway, American Girl, Meet Courtney, the movie. I'm going to link it. You guys should watch it. I'd recommend that above Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony, although they're so similar. Okay, now I got a new corner. Help Me Corner. Speaking of other time periods, did anybody else in the 90s remember Yoplait custard style yogurt? I used to get the vanilla and the blueberry. So I love Greek yogurt now. I like it as thick as possible, right? But I only like plain. I hate flavors. But when I was younger and in college and stuff, I still liked flavored yogurt. My taste hadn't grown out of that yet. And Yoplait had custard style yogurt, which was so good because I've always hated like chunks of fruit in my yogurt, unless you actually put your own raspberries inside of your Greek yogurt or whatever. Like, I like that, but the kind that's all slimy and gross and seems like fake fruit and seems like jelly or something, I've never liked that. So that's why custard style was the way to go, because it was all mixed together and very firm, if that makes sense. There's no slimy fruit pieces, no fruit pieces anywhere. I lived off of this yogurt, and I've been craving it like crazy, and never did I realize they don't make it anymore. So does anybody out there know how to recommend to me is there any yogurt out there that resembles that kind of style yogurt? Because I would like maybe to try vanilla yogurt again or blueberry yogurt again, but I'm not eating those slimy pieces of fruit in my mouth. I need this to be custard style. So... And does it make sense when I say custard style what that means if you didn't? Anyway, look it up. They were the best yogurt. They were so popular. So I don't understand. I remember they even had like banana cream and key lime pie cream or whatever. So just please help me out with that. Okay, time to read. Where's my book, I should say. Okay, here's this and this. Okay, today, let me make sure I'm still recording. Oh my God, I've been going on. Hold on, I got to get some coffee. I love you guys. One second. Okay, I'm going to read a Joy Harjo poem. And this was from a Poetry Foundation email I got the other day. I've told you guys you can sign up at the Poetry Foundation's website. I'll put a link to that too. Let me make a note of that. Because you do, definitely, it's just fun. You're not going to like, every poem they send, but occasionally, I remember I was waiting somewhere in the pharmacy drive-thru, and I just was seriously sitting there for like 50 minutes, and I thought, oh, they just sent me their daily email. Let's see what we got today. And I will be honest. I mean, this is just how it goes. I would say maybe 5% I get excited about. The other ones, I'm still happy to be reading them, but I'm not excited. This one hit me at just the right time. So anyway, sign up for those. Joy Harjo, you've definitely heard of her. She is the current U.S. Poet Laureate, and she's the first Native American poet to hold that position. She's also a musician and a playwright. Born in 51 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Very prolific, very badass. In fact, her name, Harjo, means something like crazy. So brave as to seem crazy. So brave as to seem crazy. I wish I could say O'Neill means that, but it doesn't. But O'Neill has some history with a severed hand, so that's pretty cool. All right. Excuse me for the allergies. I'm going to be reading from a poem from the book Perhaps the World Ends Here. That's the name of this poem in the book, The Woman Who Fell from the Sky. Copyright 1994. And you can buy this book for only $16.99 from www.norton.com. And I really recommend you do that or get it. This would be a great book of poems for a gift this holiday season. Let me clear my throat. This is getting kind of gravelly. All right, Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it, babies' teeth at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies, and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arm around our children. They laugh with us at our poor, falling down selves as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. Sorry. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. Wow. How much do you guys love that? It was so emotional for me when I read it because I have a kitchen table in this house in Washington State with Damien. And I grew up with this table. It was my parents got it when I was born. And it's a beautiful table. Not beautiful in like the way that art people think things are beautiful. It's just a very, like a generic strong table. Like there's nothing special about it really, but it's perfect. And I love this table. And it's been with me. So my parents first gave it to me when I went to college, when I got my first house in college, which was my second year of college. I was only 19 and I got this house for $75 a month. In Commerce, Texas, it was amazing. And I had a big kitchen, bigger than the one I have now. And so they gave that to me because they upgraded finally. But this table, and I've had it in every house I've ever lived in. So I brought it to Chicago after that. I brought it to East Texas again after that, to Houston, to many places that I lived in L.A. and the surrounding areas, and now here. And the amount of things that have happened on that table really kind of, it's almost too overwhelming to even talk about for me. I mean, I learned to paint. I have photos of this. I have that you may have seen. If you look at my, what is it called? My art assignment with PBS. You can look art assignment Robin O'Neill PBS up on YouTube, and you can find mine. You can see these photos of me at the kitchen table as an elementary school girl learning to paint with my grandma. And she taught, every time she came over, we would get out books learning how to draw portraits or draw landscapes and paint various landscapes. Then I remember in high school, everybody had a crush on my mom. All of my boyfriends, male friends, whatever you want to call them, and my boyfriends too, they all were obsessed with my mom. My mom is a very cute lady. People are very into her. And I remember that's another memory I have, is just people flirting with my mom. I loved it, by the way. I'm not saying any jealous. It sounded kind of weird, but it was just fascinating to me. And my mom bringing over snacks. And when my brother had his friends over, like carrots. I remember a lot of carrots were given out and sliced apples. We lived on those in the afternoons in my upbringing. And my brother always did this thing where my mom would make, let's say, a small sandwich for him and his friend to share after karate or whatever, taekwondo. And they would be eating, and my mom would still be in the kitchen cleaning up or whatever, and my brother would always go, let's say the friend's name was Scott. Scott, it's okay. You don't have to eat it if you think it tastes horrible. And my mom would go, Scott, is it that bad? And this joke happened every time anybody ate at our house if my brother was around, and she fell for it every single time. It's so funny. But God, and then as I grew up, I remember crazy things at this table, like being with the person I loved when we thought his stepdad killed his mom. Let's see, what else happened? I consoled very hurt, heartbroken friends, and they consoled me. I called doctors when I thought I was dying. And, you know, now I'm here with Damien in a brand new life. And I have a stepson who makes the coolest, craziest art on this table every weekend. I mean, this kitchen table means the world to me. And it really does hold all of that. Because I really believe that objects hold. It's almost like they have their own genetic thing going on. They hold all of those emotions. So anyway, I am all about Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. I can't even take it, you guys. Okay, let's close this out. I've talked a lot today. What do I have to say? Get on robinoneal.com/shop. I am now doing commissions on the ceramics and the modeliers. So if you liked one of the modeliers, but you were like, I love that modelier, but I hate the color orange. Well, guess what? You can commission it for a little bit more than the price of the object, just so that I have a little more time, just so that I can carve out time of my studio life to do it. And you can get whatever you want. Or if you like one and it was too big and you want it smaller, guess what? I can do that. So also, I love this. The men in their heads, the head postcards are the most popular. And that makes me so happy because they're so ridiculous and fun. And I will be dropping a new bunch of modeliers tomorrow morning, Friday, whatever that is, December 4th. So look out for that if you're on the mailing list. If not, go to my website, scroll to the bottom, and subscribe, and you will get the email. I love you guys. I love doing this podcast so much. I really do. I've had some shitty responses to this podcast lately. And as much as I care, and as much as I'm a super sensitive human being, overly sensitive and sort of weak in that way occasionally, I also don't give a shit. Because the few of you who love it and tell me about how you love it, I guess it's for you guys only, you know, and that's totally fine with me. This podcast is dedicated to a little cat I know named Diego, by the way. I'm thinking about you, Diego. I love you guys. Goodbye.